97.5 The Fanatic.
Ready?
I was born ready.
I can honestly say that's the best news I've heard all day.
Joe Torti Show.
Kind of reminded me of a dark, gothic Neil Diamond.
That's like exactly what I'm going for.
This is the Joe Torti Show.
What show are you listening to?
Joe Torti Show.
I'm trying to be patient, but you're making it incredibly difficult.
I can say big loud things. I can be demonstrative.
Can we just end this already?
Now it's time. The Joe Torti Show.
Yes, it is Joe Torti and D-Line. You know how, whose line is it anyway? They say the points don't matter. The scores are made up and that kind of thing. This is, D-Line, Joe Torti, where the Eagles win doesn't actually matter and everybody's angry. That's what we're getting into today, because that's been the reaction with a lot of the news after the Eagles beat Chicago, which we talked about as a big win, a big game, and what you'd call almost a must win heading into the bye week. But D, after the game, nobody's happy. You know, they slept on it and everybody's grumpy now.
I did feel right after the game there was happiness to a certain degree. I think they thought that last drive was worthy of, whoa, okay. You know, they got it done when they had to get it done. You could forget about the fact that they were up 19-0 and then allowed those 14 Bears points to a Trubisky that I cannot believe looks the way he looks these days. Oh, my goodness. But I would agree with you. Then, you know, it's not good enough. But I think part of it, Joe, you're not going to win with those receivers. And statistically, where you see who they are, you just beat two teams that can't score, right? In the Buffalo Bills and in the Chicago Bears.
Yep.
Your defense has helped you. Your running game is good. But if you cannot get anything out of your receivers, and you can list the numbers out of all of them, and then on top of it, the whole Deshaun Jackson thing happens, and that's where it all goes south.
Oh, yeah, and that was obviously the big story of the day. We're going to get to your phone call, 610-632-0975, but the big story of the day has to be the Deshaun Jackson decision to get surgery. It was a nightmare yesterday. Our worst fears confirmed. D, you and I talked about this ahead of the game, saying that there's no reason to rush back. You, if you're going to get anything out of Deshaun Jackson, you need him in the next two games.
He wasn't going to make or break yesterday.
Yeah, exactly. Whatever was going to happen yesterday was going to happen with or without Deshaun Jackson. Then the statement comes out. Well, I guess we should back up on the timeline.
Exactly.
Because he comes out after, what, four snaps, five snaps?
Yep, one catch.
Yep, one catch, 5 yards. And then is, you know, in the tent, tunnel, doesn't reappear.
And if you were listening to the game, he went to the locker room for equipment problems.
Oh, yeah, I heard that. I heard that he had to get his spikes adjusted or something like that, or his helmet.
It's like, what?
Yeah.
How about an abdominal adjustment?
Yeah, he's getting his abdomen adjusted, his hernia adjusted. Then comes the Doug Peterson statements after the game, where it was, you know, just what you'd call a slight setback. Nothing all that crazy. We knew coming into the game that he wasn't going to be available for the entire game. I'm like, five snaps, Doug? And then he says, well, we expect that he's going to be available. I anticipate that he's going to be available for the New England game. Hours later, he's getting surgery. And 6 weeks, D, don't worry. You're only holding on for 6 weeks for Deshaun Jackson.
Which you and I both know. I was right the first time, and I'll be even more right the next time. He's not playing this year. I just don't see it. You can say 6 weeks. 6 weeks from now, you're going into the final game of the regular season. And you won't have played but five snaps, two snaps, and then the first game of the season.
Yes.
So, I mean, the minimum, it's so small, Joe. So small. And I just don't see it happening.
Now,
the biggest question to me, is the surgery that's happening tomorrow, could you have done it 7 weeks ago and been almost ready to go right now?
Probably, right? If it's a six-week recovery, which, who knows? Deshaun Jackson's 32, off injured. He's not 19 recovering from a surgery. Not to say that 32 is old, but you're not at the very beginning
of
your career.
Thank you for clarifying that.
when you look at it, D, we were together the first day after the DeSean Jackson signing. And I said I wasn't really psyched, not because I knew that he was going to get hurt, but I was thinking of 32-year-old speed receivers, and I was thinking of other guys that you could have gone out and gotten. It's gone from a signing that made me kind of uncomfortable, but I understood the nostalgia of it, to what I tweeted out this afternoon after the Eagles made the statement was, this signing was an unmitigated disaster.
Really, it was really
bad
now.
Horrible signing.
Yeah. Well, boy, coupled with the fact that there is not a backup stretch the field player on the roster.
Now, is that shame on the Eagles for not making the move? Is it shame on the Eagles for looking at Mac Hollins, who, by the way, in college was a bona fide deep threat, like made Mitchell Trubisky.
Well,
a top
when are you giving
pick.
Up on that?
But he's doing everything they ask him to do. You didn't hear this? Oh, yeah. Yeah. Doug Peterson talking about Mac Hollins said, Mac's doing everything that we ask him to do. Not catch passes, and he's out there for 47% of the snaps.
Well, they never target him.
Well, you might have a chicken or the egg situation there.
Right, right. I'm with you. But at some point, you have to admit that he's not contributing.
No.
That statement can be taken for what it's worth. Doing everything we're asking him to do, which is please disappear and don't make us look any worse than it already looks.
And I mean, we watch college football. We see all the time there are starting wide receivers that are not asked to do anything. They're out there to block. They're out there to do other things. Like, guys who were never come off the field are never going to get targets. We've seen that happen too. But at the NFL level, a guy that you've invested in and a guy in Mac Hollins that almost stopped you from making other moves, right? You could have signed other people. You could have brought Greg Ward is the name that people always bring up. But I mean, even if it's not Ward, if you're looking elsewhere outside the organization, the fact that you had Mac Hollins meant that you didn't make any of these other moves. I mean, we should be basking in the glow of the Bears game and heading into the bye week. But at this point, we're watching the Eagles kind of slog their way through the schedule and be like, well, you know, this offense kind of looks exactly like it did last year, to be completely honest with you.
Exactly. Maybe even worse.
It may be worse. What happened to Alshon Jeffery? What has happened to that
guy? I don't know.
Guy?
He got old real fast. That's all I know.
It looks like it, doesn't it?
Yeah. Those three drops, now he does have the one that's crucial. All three of those catch. All four.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yes.
Yeah, because it's Alshon, it's Ertz, it's Miles Sanders, and then it's Goddard.
Right, yeah.
On the final drive.
All
so
big
you
ones.
Needed them all. But with that exception, the rest, I mean, the receiving yards, first of all, they're 27th in the league in yards per game.
Yes.
Passing yards per game. And they're 30th in one of the in overall yards. One is 27th and one is 30th.
Oh, good. Okay.
I mean, I'm just.
Numbers are the numbers when you look at the Eagles. And the numbers match the eye test.
And honestly, when you see other teams and the, you know, who they have and catches that are made, you know, there's versatility, there's speed, there's difficulty. You know, they don't get a lot of separation and still catches being made. I don't know. He just looks slow afoot to me.
Yeah. Before I move on, I don't know what's up with his demeanor. Because here's the thing, he drops the pass against New Orleans in the playoffs and is devastated, like immediately devastated.
Well, that's a big deal.
Drops passes in these games recently, and it's not just this pass game, but it's like, these things happen.
He said, I'm human.
That was
his post-game line, I'm human.
What? Quick question, real quick. What do you think would happen to an air traffic controller that messes up his or her job? And then it's like, can you explain what happened here? Because it seems like it was just a lack of focus. What can I tell you? I'm human. Like, what can I tell you?
Yeah, you can't.
No.
Yeah, can't say that.
Yeah, that doesn't work. And then, of course, that brings us to our friend Nelson Agholor, who I don't know if there's a more confusing wide receiver on the Eagles roster. Went from being this guy can't play to this guy was being utilized incorrectly and might turn into a decent slot receiver in the NFL to never mind, we were right, this guy couldn't play from the beginning. This wide receiving core is dreadful.
It is dreadful. And there's nothing now, of course, with the bye week, everybody's putting out there on Twitter. Don't you love some of the names that they're bringing out?
Yeah.
People who are retired. in their 40s.
Do you think it's a ridiculous idea that they bring in a ton of people during the bye week?
No, I would go over the top and bring people in.
It's one guy who's available that I wouldn't bring in is Antonio Brown, because I don't
think his name obviously has been brought up, but
He's going to get fast-tracked to the commissioner's list as soon as anybody signs him.
So that's just a waste of time when there's little time anyhow.
Yeah, but if you're talking about Benjamin.
Do you like the one when they say Jordan Matthews?
Jordan Matthews? Dez Bryant? People are bringing up all these people. All right, wait a minute.
Dez Bryant last night was trying to do an interview at an NBA game for Bleacher Report.
How'd that go?
Not well. It was at the Lakers because he tried to interview DeMarcus Cousins. And he's like, what are you doing? Because it was taken out of context for Cousins.
Of course.
But my point being, you're pulling people from walks of life that they are now moving into other things than the football field.
Of course. Well, so the way that I look at it, I've made less scrupulous comparisons than this one in the past. So I'll try to, you know, keep it as highbrow as I can. It's like being fired as the CEO of a Fortune 500 company, right? And it's like, okay, I am not just going to take the first thing that comes around after I get fired from this job, right? McDonald's is not
gonna
the first.
I'm going to look around?
Thing. Yeah, I'm going to shop around, right?
I'm going to let be more people selective. Talk to me.
Exactly.
Okay. All right.
Right.
I'm with you.
The problem is, if you've been out for 8 months, for 9 months, for 10 months, your selectiveness and your pool widens dramatically of the things that you're willing to consider, right? So people were talking about Dez Bryant. People were talking about Kelvin Benjamin, all of these guys before the season. And we had deluded ourselves into thinking that the Eagles had the best set of weapons in the entire NFL. So there's no need to pull the trigger on a head case like Antonio Brown or a lazy player like Kelvin Benjamin or somebody you've already seen in Jordan Matthews. But now my selectiveness has totally gone down completely. I'm open to trying everything at this point because it can't be worse.
Well, they passed on Gordon, who ended up with the Seahawks.
Yes. Now we'll see.
We'll see
how that works. But yes, you would think that of all the options that just cost you money, that's one that you could have taken, for sure.
And I'm drawing a blank on today somebody that got signed who the Eagles could have signed, and they passed on him as well. I'll get it. It wasn't that long ago because I was having my good sushi, Joe, before I came to see you.
Delicious.
Yes.
It's not in the NFL top news on NFL.com, so I'm dying to know.
I'll get it.
Who it was. But they are not doing everything that they can, quote unquote, to upgrade the wide receiving core. And probably the biggest news is that Doug Peterson finally concedes, hey, we might have to look at making a change at wide receiver, which you never, ever hear an NFL coach say.
No, but that goes to show you just how desperate things are become. And he described the work of Nelson and Alshon as good, but I can't say they've been great. Which, in Peterson terms, is actually saying they've been bad.
Right, yeah, exactly.
Because he won't go that low.
Well, right. That's like hearing Gabe Kapler say that about somebody. And you're like, wow, that person must be dreadful.
Right. And so that is definitely what he said.
Your phone number to join the conversation, 610-632-0975. What can the Eagles do now at this point at wide receiver? They've got some time now. They've got the bye week, but the trade deadline is passed. They don't go in on Emmanuel Sanders. That looks like a really good move for San Francisco. I'm still waiting and seeing about Josh Gordon because I truthfully don't know how that's going to work out. But I do know that it was a Seattle team that has DK Metcalf, who's a hard guy to tackle over the middle, Tyler Lockett, who's a slot receiver and electric. The only thing that they were missing was an outside threat, a deep guy, and they got him in Josh Gordon. So if he can play, I would think that he meets a lot of those needs. Did we find the human that was signed today?
I did. Dante Moncrief.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yes. The
claimed off wires by the Panthers.
From the Steelers.
Exactly.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. He was Mr. Drops earlier this year, too, but
I'm just saying,
size speed guy.
Right. So we're just giving examples of things that are out there but you're going to look at people who aren't even playing. And the whole idea is to have some speed and possibly somebody who could catch a ball.
My, that is, it's truly bad at this point. The state of the Eagles wide receiving core is truly horrible.
I think I just saw the word abysmal.
That's a good one.
That's a very
accurate
one. Yeah.
Let's go to Eric in Vineland on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, Eric?
How you doing?
What's up?
I'm just, all the names we get thrown around here, I think we got a solution right on the roster.
Okay.
Okay. Miles Sanders is doing pretty good for a rookie. Doug's giving the screen running duties to him. So let's put Sproles out there. He's a burner. He can catch.
Darren Sproles?
Exactly. If not, Doug's going to run him up the middle and get him hurt again. So let's put him out there.
Well, I mean,
he can catch the ball. He can run patterns.
So and, this is his first game back, right, in Chicago? So maybe he'll be able to come back and play on the outside. I look, I'm open for outside the box ideas, Eric. There's no doubt about that.
Right. We starting to look like the business part of it. We don't make moves. The link is sold out every week. I mean, they're not making us happy.
No, I mean, if you're not happy, you got to make a statement. Eric, thanks for the phone call, man. Appreciate it. You didn't look like you liked that move too much, D. Darren Sproles on the outside.
Well, no, I'm just saying. Has he ever played on the outside?
Don't believe so.
No, I just think small, going up against some of those wide. I get the speed, but his speed is used in a different way.
Yeah, yeah. Now, the truth is that he's probably more shifty now.
Yeah,
than
shifty
he is,
would be more.
Burner, but. I saw this earlier from John Clark, and I want to have it pulled up here so that I'm not just speaking from where the sun doesn't shine. But it was about the Eagles' record with deep threats and without deep threats. The problem is that John Clark's really good at his job and tweets out 10,000 times a day. And I've got to go and dig into this. But suffice it to say, there is a significant gap between the Eagles' performance when they do have
a deep threat,
DeSean Jackson, Torrey Smith, etc., and when they don't, so there's a big time difference between.
So that had to be broken out into snaps because, for instance, DeSean really shouldn't be looked at as available yesterday because it was strictly for four snaps.
Well, yeah, I guess it depends on.
I don't know where he got it from, but you know what I'm saying.
I do. I know exactly what you're saying. While I look for that, let's go to Drew in Westchester next on The Fanatic. Hey, Drew.
Hey, what's going on, Joe? What's going on, D? How you guys doing tonight?
Okay, good, how are you?
I'm doing all right, you know. So, yeah, I'm never going to complain about a win, you know. I'll take a win in the NFL any week, you know.
Of course.
So, you know, it's just kind of, I think the thing that's bothering everybody is what we have to look forward to now moving forward because, you know, we've got two really tough games coming up, first New England and Seattle. And then we still have that Dallas game. So there's three games. And with this wide receiving core, I mean, like you guys, you know, you said it all. I mean, between our receivers yesterday, I mean, I think we had seven catches and maybe 62 yards or something. And that was just, you know, the wide receiver. So, I mean, there's teams that have, you know, one wide receiver who gets that, you know, in a couple plays. And, you know, we've got three guys who get that the whole game. I don't know what the issue was, why we didn't try to make a move sooner. I think we put too much faith and hoping, you know, DeSean was going to come back and be healthier than he was. I think D said it earlier. Why didn't they, you know, make the move sooner and have the surgery sooner? So he might have been healthier at this point. It's just,
I mean, that answers that you just can't make the guy have surgery, you know, like that's entirely a personal situation.
Yeah, I guess he got advice, you know, and he thought, you know, the rest would be, you know, the way to go about, you know, avoiding the surgery. And I guess anytime you can avoid surgery, you want to take that chance. But it just seemed like, you know, in the long run, it just didn't pan out for us. So it's just been a confusing season, and I'm still holding faith, but it's just with this core, I just don't see a long run, you know, other than maybe winning the division.
Well, I mean, you should hold faith, Drew. Thanks for the phone call, man. Appreciate it. Because you aren't far out of the division lead. You know what I mean? Like, you should.
The season's not lost. No, you're not far out of the division lead. However, I will say, your next two games will tell you a lot about who you are, a lot more maybe than the two that you just played.
True.
Because you're going to play two teams that are more balanced on both sides of the ball than the Bills and the Bears are.
you're not getting the Patriots at a great time either.
No, they're not going to be. They're not going to be happy about what happened in Baltimore
last
night.
They got boat raced. Here it is: DeSean Jackson warming up for his return today. This is from yesterday, ahead of the game. Carson Wentz 12-3 record with deep threat. DeSean Jackson or Torrey Smith playing.
Oh, I got you.
8-9 Carson record without the deep threat. So that kind of accounts for last year not having Mike Wallace for everything after the Tampa Bay game.
Yeah, right. And I found the 27th in receptions with 87, 30th in yards, 933, 31st in average per catch, 10.7, and they have a total of 8 receiving TDs.
Wow. There are players, I think, that already have 8 receiving TDs. 610-632-0975, your phone number to join the conversation. More of your phone calls next. It's D-Line and Joe Torti on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
It's 97.5 The Fanatic.
D-Line, I'm Joe Torti, 97.5 The Fanatic, taking you into Sixers basketball tonight. We got plenty to talk about with the Sixers, but currently, obviously, the story in the sports world at this point is DeSean Jackson's surgery. And D, I know coming into the game, you were skeptical about whether DeSean would ever be healthy just on this rest regimen and not having the procedure. I know that you were joined by Jason Avant in that sentiment that said that, you know, you should have the surgery right away if you want to come back at all.
I think it was mostly based on other people who had had sports hernias and the sport.
Yeah,
his
course.
Position in the sport. I mean, we'll never know if he did something that created the situation from rest was getting him better enough to get him out on that field yesterday to being out there for 4 snaps. And now, you know, it's completely torn and needs the surgery. So only he and the medical staff really know what changed, when it changed, and if in fact it was his decision to try to wait this out and what he was told about waiting it out with rehab. So I think, you know, when it's somebody's health, I get it if he doesn't want to have the surgery. Obviously, I'm sure what weighs in for him, he's 32 years old, you know, so what does this mean from here?
610-632-0975. We agree that he's likely done for the season. I don't agree with the 6-week timeline.
No. I mean, you can say that's what the normal return would be for somebody who has that surgery, who's just a regular guy.
Right, yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
But an NFL player.
Then going into a postseason, because that's getting them back for week 16.
Going out and moving in the cold.
I just don't see it. But
the question becomes, is he done with a capital D?
That's a question that'll be debated after the season ends.
610-632-0975. Zach in South Philly's next on The Fanatic. Zach, you're on with D-Line and Joe Torti.
Hey, how you doing, guys? What's up, Joe? What's up, D? How y'all doing tonight?
Doing great. How are you, sir?
I'm doing good, man. I'm just a little bit upset about the DeSean news. But here, let me tell you guys this. I have actually had a sports hernia, actually in my abdomen. And the first thing the doctor told me was to get the surgery. And I didn't get the surgery originally. I waited for about a week or two. And I had did something as easy as stretch in my bed. And I happen to make it worse.
Mm.
So my thing is, I know for a fact that the doctor told DeSean to get the surgery first. I know for a fact. Because there's no way he's going to be back in 6 weeks. It takes you at least 8 weeks to heal from just from the get-go. And then you got to go through, you know, like rehab and things like that. So, yeah, you guys are right. He's definitely not playing for this year at all. But then that takes me to this. Why wasn't a move made? Because I know for a fact we could have got Robbie Anderson. We could have got Emmanuel Sanders. We could have got any of the burners that's in the NFL that was, you know, available for trade.
You know what I'm saying? Even if it was for a second, third pick, I'm making that trade because we need that. Aguilar was supposed to be that person that came in and, you know, stepped up and made that, was supposed to be that guy, that deep threat guy. The guy can't even catch a damn cracker, for anything that's thrown at him. Like, it's just crazy. I can't believe it. And then Alshon, like, come on, man.
That deal looks terrible. Well, Zach, don't feel bad. Alshon's just getting $26 million guaranteed next year.
Oh, come on, 26 million? Come on, you could have gave that to my nephew, and he would have made 5 catches, 400 yards. Like, come on, like it's crazy. It's like it's upsetting because it's like it almost feels like, do you guys want to win again? Like, do you want to win another Super Bowl, or you were just okay with the one that we had? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's
Zach. Like, I've asked that question, man, and thanks for the phone call. I've asked the question of whether this team is actually still hungry, because we're talking about hungry dogs running faster, or if everyone is sitting back on their laurels.
I'll tweak that thought slightly and say, is this more an organization similar to, well, how we heard the Phillies say, you know, only to then have to face the Dodgers? I mean, is this an organization that honestly feels, having looked at their roster, this was not Super Bowl material, and no one move makes it that again right now?
So I do wonder if there is, I don't want to call it a movement, but a segment of the organization led by Howie Roseman that feels exactly the way that you just described. Like, where Doug Peterson and the players and everybody else, like, we're Super Bowl champions, this team's got the heart of champions or whatever. And Howie's like, yeah, I understand that, but, we made some moves. I made some moves that I don't particularly like now, looking back on them, and we just don't have it. Like, I think that's entirely possible, but I don't know if that's organization-wide. You know what I mean? Like, you hear Doug Peterson talking, and you hear Lane Johnson and Malcolm Jenkins. Like, I don't get the impression that they don't think that they're good enough. But
well, I would
Howie's
agree with
moves
that. No,
suggest-
I would agree with you on that, because I can't tell you the number of times I hear Doug say, you know, my belief in the guys in that locker room.
Right.
I mean, he went long and strong out of his way after this win to refer to them and them being able to get it done.
And I have to admit, though, like, we're starting to learn about which teams have it and which teams don't have it, right?
Well, I can.
You watch Seattle, and you're like, that's not even one of the best teams in the NFL, and that team fully has it.
Let me tell you something. And when that field goal doesn't go through the uprights,
yeah,
there wasn't one head that hangs.
Right.
Russell's like, all right, let's go.
Yeah.
Let's go.
Get him again.
Yeah.
You watched Baltimore.
And by the way, that rookie wide receiver, he came seven after JJ.
That's going to hurt. That's
going to
hurt a lot. Because I think that Arthego Whiteside still has a chance sometime to turn into something.
But it's the same type of wide receiver.
But that's what it is. That's exactly what it is.
And if you were thinking for the future of, you know, Alshon's getting older and he can slip in eventually there, you weren't thinking about the present. And therefore, you then answer the question you just had. They were thinking more down the road.
It's possible.
I don't know.
But the problem that I have is that if you're thinking down the road, D, you've got a lot of rebuilding to do. A very old team. You've got this weird... This Jason Peters-Andre Dillard dynamic is going to be so strange for the rest of the season.
Do you really think Peters is coming back? I know that's what Doug said. I don't believe it.
You don't think so?
I really don't. I think it's just another... He was leaving the door open like, I'm not doing that to a Hall of Famer.
Right.
But I don't think that's happening. I don't. The guy hasn't been able to finish games now for 2 years.
That's the how do you handle that, D? Because
I handle it like, fine that you leave that door open, and then behind the door, Jason, by the way, you know, be good in your rehab and keep the rehab going through January.
Right, yeah, exactly.
I mean, that's what I do. And see, the kid has played too well to mess with that, I think.
Well, and here's the problem that I have is that he can't be looking over his shoulder, Dillard, right? Because he's having breakdowns. Every rookie offensive lineman has breakdowns. You can't be worried that you're going to get yanked for Jason Peters.
Well, he's not getting yanked for him in the middle of a game.
Right.
I don't think that's what was said. I think it was said that if Peters makes himself available, just like Deshaun made himself available, then we're throwing him out there.
Mm. I don't like the all-man crush team. I think that it messes with team building, and that's what they're running into
and,
right
and
now.
And quite frankly, to go to your thing about you should have had some kind of backup scenario mm-hmm. to a DeSean Jackson because of last year's situation with Wallace. So this has happened.
Right.
And don't tell me it's Mac Hollins.
Who hasn't played in over a year.
Correct. Don't tell me it's that. And then I say, if you want to go to the man crush thing, was Sproles really necessary? And could you have used that roster spot to have a speedy guy in some kind of backup role there?
The one that I thought of was Breshad Perryman, right? If you're going to go with guys who have been injured their entire careers, like DeSean Jackson has pretty much, I get Perryman had the weird Baltimore situation or whatever. He's coming in for Tampa and at least is out there. He's not putting up huge numbers. He's got 7 catches for 58 yards and a touchdown, right? But he's at least present to conceivably take the top off the defense. And as a result, Mike Evans is feasting. I was off by 1 touchdown. Evans and Kenny Golladay have 7 touchdowns apiece. So those two have 7. The Eagles have 8. I don't know, man. I just think that it's a tough ask for this team as they're constructed to keep pace with the quote-unquote special teams that we were talking about. Baltimore, I thought, came out against New England at home and fully expected to win that game. Like, there was no aw shucks, aw golly about that team. You watch Green Bay, they laid an egg, but...
Whoa, that one looked bad.
But before, like, the last 4 or 5 games, they've been on the warpath. I don't get the impression that that game's going to sink Green Bay.
The week before, that was when they went into KC, right?
Yeah, right. Exactly.
So, that's a little bit of a letdown after a mighty...
Exactly.
That's a big win.
And don't look now, by the way, Chargers are getting all of their players back that they didn't have early in the season when, you know, everybody was saying, hey, this could be a Super Bowl team in the AFC. So watch out for them. But I don't know. I get DeSean Jackson's desire to try to tough it out because he might have feared that if I go under the knife, that might be it, period.
I will say this, and I feel for the guy, and I can imagine his being frustrated, but he's having surgery. This conversation really after today and after you get the thing, by the way, it was successful surgery
because
you'll get that news
tomorrow. You never hear
tomorrow.
Unsuccessful surgery. Yeah, we tried and
didn't happen.
We just messed up really badly.
But after that, the conversation really needs to move forward.
Yeah.
What are you doing about this?
It's guys off the street because trade deadline's done.
Right, but go get it.
Have to do it.
I know, I'm looking at it, and the names, some of which you had already brought up are all on here.
Pierre Garçon,
Kelvin Benjamin, Dez Bryant.
Speed all over that list.
Michael Crabtree, yeah, you're right.
Speed all over
Martavius
the list.
Bryant.
I wonder what he's doing.
I don't know.
I've got some guesses, but they're probably for Lineman Torty after dark.
Exactly. Oh, actually, I didn't realize. Okay. Would he be similar to if you brought in Antonio Brown? Would there be, because he was suspended, right? Martavius?
I don't know what the status of his.
It has an asterisk next to his name, so I don't know if that's.
Let's see what Martavius Bryant's up to.
Pierre Garçon, like you said, and Bruce Ellington.
Okay. Some speed. I don't know. The frustrating thing for me is, like, I look at Jacksonville's wide receiving core.
All those names that I mentioned are the ones in the top 50 of free agents.
It's really good. Oh, J.J. Nelson. Does that name do anything for you? Got cut by the Raiders a couple weeks back. Oh, wait, did he get picked up?
Or at this point, Joe, you're changing your philosophy, which isn't a bad idea. You know, you've been running the ball. You run it pretty well.
Uh-huh.
You are throwing it to Miles Sanders.
Yep.
You got the way you spread the ball for that final drive. I'm not saying you can always do it that way.
It's a great drive.
It is a great drive.
16 plays. That was
keep
great
it alive.
Drive.
Big third down plays. You know, so maybe it's just what your play calling is has to be adjusted to this is who we now are.
I agree. And I thought that in spurts
they
had really good play call.
Yeah.
I thought. 610-632-0975. D. Lineham and Joe Torty, what do the Eagles do now at wide receiver? We're taking you up until Sixers basketball right here on the Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
The Fanatic.
Welcome back with D-Line. I'm Joe Torti, 97.5 The Fanatic. Josh Rabick is producing this evening's program as we kind of chop apart the Eagles' win over the Bears and the big loss to Deshaun Jackson over the course of that game, the announcement that he's going to be having surgery, and then, you know, what kind of happens after that is up in the air. Jordan Matthews do anything for you, D? Would you consider bringing in Matthews?
For familiarity, from a familiarity standpoint, and reliable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right? Speed, you know what I mean? It's not filling that need in the same way that you'd like, right? Is he?
No, certainly not.
Right, and, so
like, I was amazed looking at his combine numbers that he ran as fast as he did because right. He never played that fast. Here's what I'll say. I've gone from shopping for like specific needs, like mm-hmm. a deep threat, to, all right, I just need an upgrade over what you have, you know?
And I would say Jordan Matthews would be an upgrade.
Yeah, is he an upgrade over anyone? Is he an upgrade over Arcega Whiteside or Matt Collins? Probably.
Yes.
So that means
I mean,
he's
the problem
in.
Is they say he's too much like what you already have, but you're not getting anything out of those two on purpose,
right.
By the way, I do realize that.
It's the plan,
meaning,
supposedly.
Right. They don't use these guys in game planning. So if you're not going to use them and there is somebody who would be useful to you, then I would certainly go get that person.
610-632-0975. Ed in Collegeville comes to us next on 97.5 The Fanatic. Ed, you're on with D-Lineman and Joe Torti.
Hey, Joe. Hey, D. I kind of feel bad not talking Sixers, but you know what? I'm angry at Peterson. Why would you, for the first play of the game, put Jackson on the outside and have him do a 5 to 7 yard out, extend himself? And you know what? You know he has an abdominal injury. And he extends himself. It was a bad throw to begin with. He made the grab and lands on the ball. I said to my son, we're watching the game. I said, he's done. Get him in the mix. Not that he would have lasted the whole entire year anyway. He should have had the surgery. And I talked to Gargano last week after the Atlanta game. And I think after this bye week, he would have been, but for the last 6-7 weeks, he would have been able to come back because he's in that good of shape. But, I mean, why would you get him in the mix? Send him deep. If not, send him on a 7-8 yard comeback. Back to the ball, you know, 5 yard comeback.
Right.
Boom, hit him underneath. Why would you extend him like that? That's just a dumb play to do that to him, knowing that he has that type of injury.
I agree, Ed. And I thought that 20 would have been the number of snaps that I would have tried to get to Deshaun Jackson yesterday. In those spots, like you said, whether he's a decoy or he's able to actually run the fly pattern, whatever it is, like that's the only way that I would have used him. You've got other guys who can run 5 yard outs.
Exactly. You know, and you know, for him to do that the first play of the game to test him, get him in the mix. Just let him run deep. Say, hey, how you feeling? Get him in the mix. You know, you can't play with an injury like that.
What do they do now?
As Jordan Matthew goes,
yeah.
I would bring him back because, you know what, you can work the middle of the field with Goddard, Ertz, and Matthews, and you know what, Matthews could still hit the seam deep.
I don't know how deep they get, Ed, but it's probably deeper than they are now. You know what I mean? Like, they don't have anybody that's really stretching the field at all. They might try with Matthews. At least there's familiarity. Joe says, though, Joe Varecchia, Matthews is 0 for 2 here, in my opinion. Don't need to make another bad move, so he's 0 for 3. Well, the question we're asking is, what's the move? Like, if it's not Jordan Matthews, it's fine. I'm not a Jordan Matthews apologist, but what do you do? Are we calling Chad Johnson at this point?
Or are you not doing anything?
Right.
And not doing anything means you are going to scheme differently with the guys that you have, which means maybe more Miles Sanders in some way, shape, or form in terms of receiving.
Yes, which he's been good at so far.
And while we see, you know, we know what Ertz is, and that was his best game by far this season.
Agreed.
And then getting the ball to Goddard more. Like, he can't just be a blocker.
Exactly. Now, I looked at Baltimore. I was watching that game against the Patriots.
Yeah, they had three tight ends out there.
I feel like most people don't know who the wide receivers are for the Ravens.
No.
You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
They don't have elite-level guys. Now, they have Hollywood Brown, who's a speed burner guy who you can get chunk plays from every once in a while. But they just beat you up. They just beat you. They look like the 76ers, the NFL's version of the 76ers. They're just bigger, and they just beat you up. That's the way that it looks to me. You can do it. You have to be creative.
I will say that I did feel like New England had started to figure them out a little bit.
Did you?
I did. Well, I mean, if you look at it, New England had a lot to do with their own mistakes.
I agree. But my thing was, like, if Baltimore doesn't fumble twice, is New England in that game to begin with? You know? Because I agree with you. They did figure some stuff out.
Oh, yeah.
Defensively, especially. But
I mean, also, on the play right before the half, personally, I've seen Brady sneak that in.
Yeah.
I mean, I get it, and I was happy because I say it's hard to get points at that point for them. Take the points. But that's a big difference. And then, you know, because you had the ball coming out of the half, and Edelman, who, I mean, I don't see him do that often.
No, not at all. 610-632-0975. Falcons made coaching changes. They've shuffled around a lot of people. Dan Quinn's still there, though. Hard to believe it, 1-7. Hard to believe that, like, you're reshuffling.
Don't you feel like a lot of people don't like, what's the point of changing in the middle? I'd rather do a real search after.
See, I think that if you do make a change in season, you get a jump start on everyone. Like, the people who don't have jobs now.
Okay, but let's just say this. So then you have an interim guy.
Yeah.
Which is what Cleveland had last year.
Yeah.
And then do you feel obligated because he did a good job that you really don't go and search, and now you're saying, did we pick the wrong guy?
Well, I mean, so their interim head coach last year, and unless I'm incorrect, was Greg Williams, right?
It was.
And they didn't give Williams the job. They gave Freddie Kitchens the job. And Williams was floored. They picked the wrong guy.
They definitely picked the wrong guy.
They picked a couple of the wrong guys.
I was just going to say, on the roster also. Yeah. I would agree.
610-632-0975. Including, I would venture to say, the number one overall pick in the draft, I don't think Baker Mayfield was the right guy. When you look at the rest of the young quarterbacks in the NFL, like, how much better is Baker Mayfield than Mitchell Trubisky at this point? Mitchell Trubisky gets crushed.
He's brutal.
He gets demolished. How much better is Baker Mayfield?
Right now, no. I agree. You know? I don't know, though. I have to say, Trubisky in that first half looked like he didn't know anything he could do.
And
looked like that the week before. And I didn't see the two before that. But, I mean, when you're on a four-game losing streak and your offense hasn't been anything all year long, usually you point to your quarterback first and say, what's going on?
With the weapons that they have and the defense that they have, you would think the idea is just, like, don't mess it up. Just, like, keep the car on the road.
It definitely looks like a confidence thing at this point.
No question. No question. I thought Wentz looked pretty confident yesterday.
Well, definitely overall. On that last drive, I loved it.
Yeah, it looked really good.
I mean, he knew, he was very sharp, knew what he wanted to do. Boom, boom. I do watch some of the film on Mondays, the breakdowns on Twitter.
Sure.
And there are a couple of early plays where he just holds on to the ball longer than, you know, you just got to trust it.
Mm.
And I saw one of them had an open Ertz for a touchdown.
Plays missed.
Passes missed.
That's D-Line. I'm Joe Torti. Josh Rabick is producing. 610-632-0975 is your phone number to climb aboard. We'll be right back with more after this on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5, The Fanatic.
Welcome back, D-Line. I'm Joe Torti, 97.5, The Fanatic. Josh Rabick is producing. What about Mike Wallace? Did that do anything for you?
Well, since we didn't get to see a lot of them the first go-around, yeah, sure. Let's do it.
Let's do it is my theme.
And maybe you wouldn't have to pay him because he owes you from last year.
Exactly. Just we have a wink and nod agreement.
A make do.
Exactly.
Make good on make the good last on this. Deal. Yeah.
Let's go to Anthony and Cherry Hill next on The Fanatic. What's up, Anthony?
Hi, Joe. Hi, Dee. How are you this evening?
Doing well.
Good. I think it's time for the Eagles to face the facts and be honest with the fans and just come out and talk to us and say, listen, 2 years ago, we won the Super Bowl. For the past 2 years, we've been trying to field a team that was competitive. It's just not working out. I think what we're going to do is we're going to go into the draft, and we're going to build a younger, faster team, just like the Sixers did. They came out, they were honest with the fans, they were honest with the city, and said, stay with us, you'll see what we're going to do. And we're going to be good. We promise you. We have our Carson Wentz. We have our quarterback. I mean, you have fans in this town that are saying that Carson Wentz is not what he's up to be. I mean, they're saying he's not good. Well, he's not good because he doesn't have any targets to throw to. They're dropping balls left and right. So I think they should come out and just say, you know what, we didn't make a move this year. We wanted to keep our draft picks because we want to have them go into the draft and draft some good young players. What do you think about that?
Well, I would be concerned that the history of their drafting hasn't been great. We can pick the ones that are good.
Right.
And then, but there have been many that have not panned out, which has put them in the situation of being old and having traded for people and losing draft picks. So if you were going to do that, me personally, I'd like somebody to be hired within that front office staff that's doing the analyzing of the talent. And in fairness, the Sixers got to a point, well, one, they got lucky with having high picks and having good drafts when they did get those high picks. So that's part of it. But I understand that the pool of talent in football is far greater because you are drafting at so many different positions. And if you're the Eagles trying to get younger because they are one of the oldest teams in the league, there probably would be a lot of talent that you could get at the many different positions and build it that way.
Sure. I just think you see all these other teams and they're younger, they're faster, they're better. I mean, we're talking about the Eagles, if they make it to the playoffs, they'll win one, maybe two, but they're not going all the way. So we already know this. So just look at the facts and do something about it and try and field a team that's younger and better, and the fans will stay behind you.
Well, Anthony, thanks for the phone call, man. I appreciate it. I think that you're right about that, but I do also think from just a pure business perspective, that's insanity, right? Like, I feel like from a pure business perspective, you won the Super Bowl 2 years ago. You're still riding the high of that. People are still buying the books. People are still buying the Super Bowl stuff. I think that it'd be spiting yourself a little bit to be like, hey, we got to go in retool mode a little bit.
As long as you still have the fans on board.
Right, exactly. Right.
And the minute they start tailing off saying, you know, that, quote, we're on a run and we're going to get another, as soon as they start to believe that's not true.
Right.
For instance, I mean, I remember Josh Harris always saying, we're going to build something that's going to be able to last for a number of years.
Yes.
And I would say your last 2 years have been 50-win seasons.
Mm-hmm.
you're better team than the last two.
So they've told the truth overall, right?
Now, you haven't gotten the championships yet, but in terms of still trending up, that is true. I don't think you can say that about the Eagles right now.
Well, with the Eagles, too, I am concerned, and I'm not saying that they would do this, but there is an angle that the Eagles can put out because they don't expect to be questioned. Like, they can put out...
Totally agree with you.
Hey, we've been injured. We've had key injuries at offensive line. We've had key injuries at wide receiver. We've had key injuries here. We've had key injuries there. And no one's going to ask, like, hey, how come you signed all these like players who are injury-prone and older to more contracts and not expect them to be injured? You know what I mean? Like, that's, they don't expect to be pressed on that.
Agree with that. But what's your excuse with your wide receiver core, which really is the one thing that everybody's talking about today?
Right.
And with the exception of DeSean Jackson, which I understand is a very valid and it is a hit for you. However, you played without that guy who stretched the field the same last year.
Right. That's the truth.
And now but your guys can't catch balls.
That's the damning part, Dee, that you pointed out, is that it's not like they were taken completely by surprise. Forget the fact that DeSean Jackson has injury history. It's that you had Mike Wallace slated as your deep threat last year. He gets hurt. You had to go through an entire year without a deep threat. You saw what that looked like, and you still put your eggs in the DeSean Jackson basket with no backup. That is damning from a team building.
I mean, that'd be one of the, at the end of the year when you're having that reflection press conference with the Dougs and the Howies, you know, it's like, how did this happen 2 years in a row? Not the injuries happening, but putting yourself in the same boat.
And they have. They put themselves in an exact same situation.
Yep.
Quick question for you before we get back to the phones.
Mm-hmm.
Alshon Jeffrey is in the middle of his contract extension with the Eagles.
Mm.
He is under contract through the 2021 season. I believe that the last 2 years of his contract, the 2022 and 2023 seasons, are set to automatically void, I believe. I think that that's the case. You're pushing they've already pushed his money into those years, though, in order to clear up cap space in the shorter term. He is a $26 million dead cap situation
next
if you
year.
Cut him next year. And he's still 10.6 if you cut him the year after that. Knowing what you know now about how things have played out, in hindsight, if you could do the time machine, do you sign him after the Super Bowl?
Well, clearly not if I have hindsight. Would you?
See, it makes you wonder, like...
I mean, I got the drop ball, which I understand in the moment, it's one play, one...
In the playoffs last year.
In the playoffs.
But he was still probably your best receiver last year.
But there's no part of this year that's the case.
And to me, there's no reason to expect. He's not coming off of an injury that we're aware of or anything. There's no reason to expect that it gets better.
I mean, he has definitely not been on the injury report.
No. Which, I mean, we saw the Steelers just get fined for that not long ago. Like, teams lie. Teams hide things. But, man, like, he looks like he's injured. So if he's not...
I think he just looks slow and older.
Well, I think that's true.
I mean, that's what I think he looks like.
Let's go to Angelo on the cell next on The Fanatic. Angelo.
Hey, thanks for having me. I got a lot to talk about. I know I only have a couple minutes. Let me just
let
start
it rip.
By saying the Eagles have a blueprint for doing what I want them to do. And talk about this is going around town. Bring in Antonio Brown. They brought in Michael Vick. He actually went to prison for, 2 years? Last time I checked, Antonio Brown hasn't gone to prison yet. But if he's available and we can get him for nothing for just the remainder of the year without giving up anything for him, bring him in. Because I blame the Eagles, first and foremost, and Howie Roseman for letting this happen. And like you said, not having a backup, knowing full well that we go into a season with Alshon Jeffries and D. Jackson, who often get hurt. So who are the replacements? They can't even make it onto the field.
Mm-hmm.
And when they do, they're not even there because they never get open. So I blame Howie Roseman. I blame the coaching staff for not putting pressure on D. Jack to have an operation after week one. If he has an operation after week one, he's out for 6 weeks to heal. He's back by now. But no. He waits because he doesn't want to have an operation because he's a prima donna. And we knew this going in all full, all well, because we already had him. We know all about D-Jack, okay? He's the prima donna wide receiver that he thinks he can call the shots.
So you want Antonio Brown, though?
I don't care. He's better than what we have. What do we have?
But what I'm saying is you were just talking about how D-Jack's a prima donna, and that's the big problem. Like, have you been paying attention to what Antonio Brown's been doing?
I understand. Yeah, I want Antonio Brown because he can catch the ball. What we have left are players that can't get separation and can't catch the ball. At least I would assume that if Antonio Brown shows up and dresses up and plays, he'll probably do pretty well. And oh, by the way, the Patriots get Sunu from where, Atlanta? Wouldn't he be nicer than the Eagles?
Sunu.
10 receptions yesterday.
Uh-huh.
He looked like he's been playing with the Patriots for 3 years. What is Howie Roseman doing?
Nothing is the answer.
I've been calling this station, and I've been talking to my friends for the past at least 6 to 7 weeks. What are the Eagles going to do? Everybody kept on saying, oh, they'll definitely make a move before the trading deadline. Well, that came and went. We've got no defensive end that I can speak of. Our quarterbacks are pathetic. Our wide receiver corps is non-existent. Now we've got to rely on running backs and tight ends to do their job, who, by the way, got more yards after the receptions yesterday than any one of our wide receivers.
You're absolutely right. It is a disaster. Angelo, I'm sorry, we're up against a break. You're absolutely right. It's a disaster.
I didn't think the defense was horrible yesterday.
Well, the defense did okay. The wide receiver is not getting yards relative to the tight ends and running backs is what I meant. But defense is okay.
No, I'm saying he said.
Yeah, well, yeah, I agree. Difference, Michael Vick's prison sentence behind him, and I'm not saying that Antonio Brown's going to prison, but he's going to commissioner's jail as soon as he signs. So. Yeah. Just something to think about. Yeah. Couple of open phone lines, 610-632-0975. D. Lineham and Joe Torti will be back after this.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Welcome back, D-Line. I'm Joe Torti, 97.5 The Fanatic. Amid all of the Eagles talk, and that'll continue, 610-632-0975. We also, D-Line, have a basketball game tonight.
Do we?
Sixers taking on the Suns. Pre-game coverage coming your way at 8:50.
Minus one, Joel Embiid.
Yeah, no Joel Embiid, but this is... you know, hopefully the last game that he'll miss.
It's not the last game he'll miss for the season.
Ever.
Come on now, load management.
Oh, yeah.
Man, I'm trying to be dominant.
Yeah, I know. How's he going to be dominant with load management? Although he's done a pretty good job of that so far.
No, but I will say this. I thought their game against Portland, battling back against a Portland team that hadn't been at home since the opening night.
Yes.
They're down, you know, they have the Sixers down 21. And to battle back, you have bench guys who really hadn't seen a lot of, in like a Neto who contributes. And obviously, Korkmaz, you know, did his damage at the very end. I was happy for him. And they are the only undefeated team. So we'll see how long it can go.
I thought that if you're Brett Brown, it had to be nice to watch a halftime speech actually work, where you're talking and saying they are not going to keep shooting 1,000,000% from three, just like hang in there. And then they didn't. They defended a little bit better.
Yeah, that's true. I will say the execution of the Portland's final play where Lillard found the kid in the corner,
mm-hmm.
Simons, I think that's his name. It's not Simmons. It's Simons. Was so well executed, and you could have felt like,
we
battled all the way back, and now with 2.2, that's what they do, you know, and that's not the case. And I'm not saying you have to get on board with a Furkan Korkmaz, but I have been saying, for the people who say they don't have enough shooters, is Elton going to go get a shooter? My response has been the same since day one. He wants to try to grow this.
Yes.
And if, when the trade deadline starts to approach, that they find that to be a weakness that is too great, then I think he would do something. But he's not right. He's not shopping right now. So that these guys who are there realize there is an opportunity for them, and Korkmaz would be one of those guys.
Well, and certainly the other part of it, too, is that what they've been doing has worked. And so, like you said, it hasn't been enough of a weakness where it's like, we need to make something happen now. So if they keep this rolling the way that it is, and there's no pressure to do that.
And I will say this, because Korkmaz, I do believe that there has been a concerted effort, either from a coaching standpoint, and he's understanding it, or from his standpoint that he realized after they didn't extend him last year, or offer the option, however you want to say it,
right,
that if I don't do something defensively, I'm not going to be here and maybe nowhere else. And so I think you can see that he moves his feet better. He's actually been able to take a couple of charges. And I think when he now knows he's not hurting them as much defensively, it takes a little pressure off him because the kid can shoot.
Right, but he doesn't feel like, oh, since I'm giving nothing defensively, I've got to make something happen.
Right, so
on the
it becomes more in the flow of the game. And by the way, Al Horford's screen to get him open, ridiculously good. Every coach who's teaching a CYO team or a high school team, get that out. That's how you set a screen and hold a screen until the guy comes off it.
610-632-0975. Making coaching tapes. Let's go to Nate in Southwest Philly on the Fanatic. What's up, Nate?
Yo, Dave, what's going on?
What's going on?
Listen. I don't know who y'all got calling up there, but this is crazy. Like, you talk about Peter Dama receivers, and then you say, let's go get Antonio Brown? Like, he's worse than DJ. Kidding me?
Well, I mean, especially if he's watching games from the commissioner's list, he's not going to be very good.
Absolutely, because that's where he's going to be. Because as soon as they sign him, Roger Goodell stepping in, believe me. But listen, D, we got the best team in the league right now, D.
I know.
I don't know what's going on. I'm looking at these shows in the morning. It's First Take and it's Undisputed and Shannon Sharp, that guy, man. Him and his Laker kick, I don't know what's going on. Like, that got to be the worst. Like, the Lakers are best in the league. They
5-1.
We 5-0. Where you get that from, Shannon?
Well, part of it, but if anybody watched that Lakers-Mavericks game, if you heard them right after that, that was just because it was the mano-a-mano with LeBron and Doncic was so good.
That was a heck of a game.
Yeah, and so a lot of that is
amazing.
Yeah, it's coming from those kind of moments, I think.
All right, last question, though. AAD, you think the Knicks are kicking themselves right about now?
For what part?
Because the unicorn looks good.
The Knicks' problems have been going on for far too long. But you got to admit that RJ is their future.
Oh, man, yes.
You know what I mean? Yes. And that's real.
Yeah. But we'll be him in a couple of weeks. So I'll see you then. Take care. All right, Joe.
All right, Nate. There you go.
They needed to start something fresh. Now they gave him away. That's not good. You know what I mean? You shouldn't have done that. But keeping him, I don't think, was an option.
Not if you ask him. You know what I mean?
Well,
like, that was certainly not an option if you ask him. So there's only so much you can do in 2019 if somebody doesn't want to play for you now. Mm-hmm. Like, that's finding across sports, right? Like, that's the way that it goes. Let's hit up Mike in New Hope next on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, Mike?
What's going up, guys?
How we doing?
Good. I just wanted to ask you guys a question about Miles Sanders. Let me tell you a story that I've only bought two Eagles jerseys in my entire life, and that's Brian Westbrook and LeSean McCoy. Do you think Miles Sanders can be that next running back that really identifies with the city of Philadelphia and stays here for a really long time?
That's an interesting question. I would say that I don't put a whole lot of faith in anything being long-term anymore, except for your quarterbacks, because you invest so much money. Would you agree with that, Joe, that it's the time in sports of having people for long, long periods of time just doesn't seem the same? But from a standpoint that the Penn State connection, the kid is having a good year,
yep,
that he will still learn and grow and do more things, I think is true. And from a rookie standpoint, I think he does look like a guy they want to grow with.
Yeah, definitely. And then one thing on the Sixers, that Korkmaz shot was fantastic. I can't get enough of it. I've loved Korkmaz since he started playing. Even though he wasn't the best and he was sitting on the bench for a lot of games, I think he was relatively productive when he did get time on the court. When do you think Ben's going to shoot that first shot, that first three?
Oh, my goodness. He could go. It's going to be the end of a clock. It's not going to be a three that he sets out to, you know, run to the corner. They find him in the corner because Richardson's on a fast break, and that's where he runs to, and they get it to him. I don't think it's going to happen like that. I think it's, personally, I know I sound, but I don't think he has changed any part of his outside shooting from last year to this in terms of desire to take it.
Well, he hasn't found himself in those positions in years past, right? So, like, I don't think that people are looking for Simmons in end of shot clock situations to begin with. You know what I mean? Like, he hasn't found himself.
Oh, no. Well, that's the only threes he's ever attempted,
exactly,
though.
Exactly.
Is when the clock is running out and the ball's in his hands.
Right.
But I'm not saying on them finding him.
Right.
He has the ball. But, I mean, I'm just saying, looking at him, there is nothing different about him wanting to incorporate an outside shot to his game.
Let's go to Mike in South Philly next on the Fanatic. Hey, Mike.
Hey, man. How's it going, buddy?
Hey.
You know, I want to say something, man, about these fans, man. I've been here in Philly over 10 years now, man. People, I don't understand why people don't appreciate this Eagles team, man. You know what I mean? I was talking about Sixers, but the way all the callers are being so negative about the team, I don't understand that, you know? Like, this team won two games in a row. You know what I mean? What more can you ask? You know what I mean? Like, yo, D. Jackson, he's not going to play this season. Forget about it. This team has a running game. They're going to win games because of running game. People need to relax and appreciate this team, man. You know, the players are listening to the shows. You know what I mean? Fans cannot be this way. You cannot be negative for the team while the team want to make a run. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know if you remember the Giants, the last time they make a run to Super Bowl, they won Super Bowl.
Sure.
They were an eighth seed.
But they had something special about them, right? Like, they had that pass rush that was literally keeping them in every single game. Like, what is it that's special about this Eagles team that you think is going to carry them over?
The running game and wins. I don't know. If you see yesterday's game, you see the blueprint, how to beat New England. Lamar Jackson has the same talent as Wentz. Wentz, he can do what Lamar Jackson did yesterday.
No way.
They'll never let him run like that, and I don't think he can run like that. And the
you can only help, let's say 80%, but he still has more talent, better than Lamar Jackson.
With all due respect, man, thanks for the phone call, he cannot run 80% of what Lamar Jackson runs. Lamar Jackson is a more talented version of Michael Vick in every respect. He's bigger, he's a better thrower, he's a better runner.
And stays in the pocket more.
Yeah,
graphic of how often he throws in the pocket is so much greater than him throwing on the run.
Yeah.
That he runs is a whole different ballgame. But when he wants to throw, he throws from the pocket.
I was on the record as saying that I liked him the most in that draft, and the Baker Mayfield pick was a total head-scratcher for me. But, plus, that's a recipe for disaster if you're the Eagles.
Right, because Carson's gotten hurt.
He has the injury history, yeah. Exactly. So if you start running the option, I don't think that's a blueprint for New England. How many teams are going to be running the speed option?
Lamar's done it like that at every level, is basically what you heard repeatedly last night watching that game.
Yep.
You know, this is not new for him. This is how he's played football at every level.
I'm wearing a Clemson t-shirt right now. My sister went to Clemson. I've been
We've had this good conversation.
We have. The Louisville game where Lamar Jackson, the season that he won the Heisman, Louisville was so dreadful, so horrible in that season. But Lamar Jackson literally kept them in it against Clemson until, like, the very end. Like, I mean, it's a guy who doesn't need or often get a whole lot of help. Yeah. The game plan that they put together for New England was
brilliant. But who else can do that? You know, you can do that light with Russell Wilson. You can do that light with Josh Allen. There's not a ton of guys who can move the way that Lamar Jackson can move in the NFL.
And still have an arm.
And still have an arm. That's it. 610-632-0975. D-Line and Joe Torti, we are taking you up until Sixers Suns right here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
The Fanatic.
D-Line, I'm Joe Torti, 97.5 The Fanatic, heading into Sixers Suns. All these high draft picks, are you starting to like the Suns yet? You starting to put it together a little bit?
Well, you're not seeing Ayton right now.
No, not. You're not seeing
him. That's
a
high draft pick.
Number one. Yeah.
Number one. I mean, I like Booker for sure.
Me too.
Ayton had a good year last year.
Sure did.
I mean, he'll be back after 25 games. I'm just saying. And Booker, I will be very interested in tonight. Booker crushed them when they were here last night. Bridges, obviously, we all pay attention to because they picked him.
Of course. He's having a good start to his career.
Yeah. He definitely did. I mean, the Sixers are a better team.
I'm not saying you're worried about the Suns. Of course, you're not worried about the Suns. But I kind of do like it. Like, for as much as people kind of disparage the Suns for how things have gone for them in recent years, it's getting to the point where they're like San Francisco in the NFL, where it's like you have that many high draft picks. Eventually, you've got to have something come together.
Well, that was the Sixers.
That's exactly it. And also the Sixers.
Just saying.
There you go. 610-632-0975. Let's go to Joey in Pottsville next on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, Joey?
Hello, sir.
What's up?
Not much. Thank you for having me.
Welcome.
Now, before I get off topic, talking about the Sixers, I just wanted to ask you, do you think it was a little too early for the man earlier to say that you can compare Michael Vick to Lamar Jackson? Now, not going to disrespect Lamar. He's having a great season so far, but I don't know if he's quite at Michael Vick's
Well, I was the one who said that. So what arena or what area is Michael Vick superior, in your opinion, to Lamar Jackson?
No, I mean, I don't think he is. I mean, no, Michael Vick is...
I'm saying, what is Michael Vick better at than Lamar Jackson is what I was asking.
Consistency. And he also has a great arm. I mean, that we all know that. Now, he's never got a Super Bowl ring, but, I mean, he's played a high level and competed very well and for a very long period of time. And, I mean, Lamar had a pretty well year last year, but I mean, this year he's doing outstanding, so we'll see if he can keep it up.
It is early, I would say. Am I right in saying their record with him as a starter is like 12-3?
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah, that's very impressive.
Yeah, so, but I understand your point of longevity.
Yes, and also, what I was going to talk about with the Sixers tonight is, what do you think are some of our key factors on offense for scoring without Embiid tonight?
I think you go with the normal suspects that, you know, Tobias will get his, Al Horford can give you his, Simmons will be out in the open floor. Josh, it's been everybody kind of contributing separately. And then, you know, when you go to your bench, you actually can get a little more than I thought they have, than I thought they could.
Yeah, I agree with that. I'm just going to be very surprised to see how Coach Brown plays Furkan tonight after his, you know, big shot. And I'm also happy to see from last game how the Sixers were able to, like, you know, slowly come back and keep, you know, nib it at the score. Like last year, we didn't see anything like that. They would make slow comebacks, but then it would, like, you know, keep on getting away throughout the season. So, I mean, our last game was a really good sign that we came back and won without Embiid. It showed a lot about our team this year.
Absolutely, Joey. Thanks for the phone call.
The reason they can come back like that is because their defense is...
They'll keep them in everything.
Improved over a year ago.
Because that's where every comeback starts.
And I think your Furkan, to answer your own question, he's going to be a 20-minute, 16 to 20-minute guy all year long, in my opinion, because you get the best out of him without exposing him too much.
Okay. What do you think about the Lamar Jackson-Michael Vick comparison?
I think Lamar has the potential to be a better player. I also like his size better.
He's bigger.
And he's in a system where John Harbaugh is committed to playing a brand of football that he believes in that guy before everybody else did.
Right. That's the truth. And he's already gotten 4 100-yard rushing games.
Yeah, and that number was he's second all-time, and he's only played.
He hasn't played a full season.
No.
And now, here's the thing. I think, and I'm not sure about this, I think that if you do the radar gun test, Michael Vick probably throws a harder fastball than Lamar Jackson.
Yeah, like there were even some where pressure's coming to him last night that I was like, ooh, that looks a little shaky.
Yeah, you know?
But he's a young guy.
I mean, he's got the size. I think he's a better passer overall in terms of accuracy. And I like
the
way
he runs.
And I
like that he keeps in the pocket when he wants to throw.
Yeah, I agree. I agree with that, too. Let's go to David next in Washington Township. David.
Hey, guys. I'm just walking in my house from walking my pug.
Nice pug.
Yeah. So the earlier call, and I shouldn't even waste my time, but the earlier call, the people who have said, let me just mute the TV, who have said... that they should go after Antonio Brown. I just want to ask this. Look, I'm not into all choir boys. And in the case of Michael Vick, like I said, I have a pug. His background didn't exactly throw me either.
Sure.
But you can't make the comparison to him. He proves the opposite point. He actually served his sentence.
Exactly.
And in this country, we have to respect, if you are sentenced for something, we have to respect the ability for people to serve their sentence, and if they come out having taken full ownership, not still denying what they did, then people have to get a second chance at some point. So, but in the case of Antonio Brown, like you said, it's moot anyway because he'd go on the commissioner list so fast. Because this league does not want the black eye of seeing him play this year.
Which, as I said to Joe, it's wasting time when there's little time to do it.
But the question I want to ask those people, and I hope they're listening. I hope people who feel that way are listening. Just take a second. It is real life, actually. This is not our real life, but this is real life. There are actual people involved in what happened. So if they're fine with their mothers, their sisters, their wives, and their daughters being treated the way he treated those women in the situations he did, if they're fine with that, then great. But if they're not, then don't be hypocrites. You know, if you wouldn't want that to happen to someone in your life, then don't give me the death. Do you want him on the Eagles?
Right, David, thanks for the phone call, man. Appreciate it. And that's what you hear a lot in these situations, and that's a pretty common thing. Like, I do think that overall it's interesting, but it's a moot point because of the commissioner's list, and then there's obviously pending other stuff going on.
And there's 7 weeks left.
Yeah, you don't have time to wait it out.
If you really need help, you can't be messing around with the guy may or may not be able to help you.
That's exactly right. That's D Lineham. I'm Joe Torti. Sorry to the callers who are still on the line, but we've got to hand things off to Sixers basketball. Tom McGinnis bringing you the action.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.